Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, State Senator Heidi Gansett is here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program State Senator Heidi Gansett, Republican of District 15. Thank you so much for doing this. I know how busy you guys are here at the end of session.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here, so thank you for inviting me.
Well, you're very welcome. First of all, your thoughts on the Supreme Court decision last week and leaves close to $100 million hole in the budget.
Well, we were very excited about the decision because the bill that was passed last session was setting a precedent. So basically to have a simple majority to raise taxes, and so that's why the Senate Republicans stepped up. And there were a couple issues. And I also want to say a thank you to James Settlemyer, who led this effort and had to raise money. And it was very difficult, but we were very pleased with the decision.
And I talked to a couple of the businesses that were affected, and one of them had stepped up to be a part of this. And it was an amazing amount of money. His particular business, he's going to get back almost $40,000. So it's not chump change.
No, it's not inconsequential. And, you know, when you look at the numbers, it looks small because it's just a fraction of a point. But it adds up. And that's money that can be in our economy. That's money that can pay employees. It's just really important that we keep our word, too. Those who voted for the commerce tax years ago, and I was not part of that session, that was part of the deal, is that would be gradually decreasing. The modified business tax would be decreasing. And so we really needed to hold them to that.
And it's nice to see that a sunsetted tax finally gets sunsetted.
Right.
That is in itself.
No one ever believes it's going to happen, and so it happened this time. But of course, we had to go to court to make sure it did.
Yes, and interesting that the Supreme Court voted unanimously.
Mm-hmm. I also thought that was very important. So you have to follow the super two-thirds majority if you're going to pass a tax, and it's very clear now on the record.
Let's change it. Just, and I know you haven't read the details of the bill, but just your initial cursory thoughts on the energy bill that Chris Brooks dropped.
You know, I've not read the bill yet. It just dropped last week, and of course, we only have 2 weeks left of session now. But I've had positive feedback on it, so I'm looking forward to going over that.
You know, one of the things about the energy bill, and you know, it's increasing transmission capabilities for Nevada. Senator Brooks would like to. By the way, our traffic is going by here for those that wonder. But it's going to increase transmission capabilities for the state of Nevada. Senator Brooks would like to see Nevada be the center of the Western grid. But does it concern you that, you know, our power grids and our energy supplies are in such danger? You look at what's happened on the East Coast with the cyber attack. Does it concern you that, you know, as we increase this use of electricity, that we're really not in a situation where we're safe from these kind of attacks?
I think everyone is vulnerable to attacks. What I do appreciate is my understanding of it, we're going to have redundancies. So you have to remember when you increase transmission lines, and they're sort of doing a triangles from what I can tell and connecting to other states, that actually helps us be more secure. And also, we can be such a major producer of renewable energy, and to be able to use it in state, potentially wield it out of state, and really do a better job regionally, both our state and then regionally, I think is important.
Are you comfortable with the idea that Nevada will make money from this, that will help to defray some of the costs associated with it? Because that's my concern, is that the public in the end is going to, you know, NV Energy, of course, is the one that's going to build the transmission lines, but then they go back to the PUC and the public ends up paying for it, that the costs of power are going to be, you know, rising dramatically over the next decade or so.
So I think the first thing we need to make sure is that we have secure energy sources, right? So we want to be able to flip our switch on and make sure it works. So I think the redundancy that they're going to create is positive. Now, the way that they typically spread those costs is probably over 50 years, like 50 years. So I'm very hopeful that they can keep their rates flat or even reduce them, because if we produce more renewable, that's going to be less expensive, you know, over time. And so we've got efficiencies to the system, redundancies to the system. So we'll have to see, but I do know that it'll be highly scrutinized by the PUC.
Yes, to say the least. Is the getting rid of natural gas in the next within less than 10 years gone from this session now?
You know, I'm not sure what the thoughts are on that right now. I do again recognize that when we flip the light switch, you want to make sure there's lights, right? We want to make sure the power works, and so that's frequently taken all sorts of different types of energy as far as base energy, whether it's gas or solar or wind, but and geothermal. We're really fortunate in northern Nevada to have geothermal, which is a base load. You don't have to worry about whether the wind's blowing or the sun's shining, it's there.
Yes, to say the least.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Finance Committee. What are the biggest things facing you at this point in time on that committee?
So right now we've closed most of the budgets. We ended up holding K-12 because there were some problems with the formula itself, as in the program that was running. But it's been a pretty smooth closure. I think what we need to do, though, is look at the add-backs. The Economic Forum came in with a lot of money. I mean, far surpassed anyone's expectation, almost $600 million. So we have the ability to add some money back, and then we have, I believe it's about $2.7 billion of federal dollars. And what we need to make sure is that we separate those. So we can use the Economic Forum's money for ongoing expenses, but when we look at the money from the federal government, it's really about one-shot money. And we can look at areas such as making sure that we can improve the pipeline for healthcare and probably for teachers, some things that we need that were affected by COVID. You know, we had the schools shut down, and then we have this healthcare crisis. So those are some funds that we can help to probably make up for some losses. Or expenses, and then also to make sure that we can put ourselves in a better position moving forward on the healthcare front.
Senator Ratty was on the program last week, and she talked about that she thought it was a good idea to have a listening tour to decide what to do with the money, because there are 63 legislators who all are going to have their ideas of how to spend the money, but everybody else in the state should too. But my question is this. Don't we elect you guys to make those decisions rather than you coming back to us and saying, okay, what do you think?
Well, I think it's probably a combination. So we are talking to our constituents on an ongoing basis, and we recognize some of the challenges that we face. But I always think it's good, you know, to listen. So I agree that that's a good idea, and that we need to get some input on it. Because we're making decisions that really can affect the future, and that's quite a bit of money that we won't see again. It's one-shot money. We won't see it again. How can we best use it to position Nevada better for the future?
And the Rainy Day Fund. Mm-hmm. How much do you want to replenish the Rainy Day Fund?
So those dollars cannot be used for Rainy Day Fund, so that can't be used. But we need to start accruing funds in the Rainy Day Fund. But it can be used for the debt that we've assumed for unemployment benefits. So we're in the hole on that, and my understanding is that we can use it. And if we do that, it offsets an increase to businesses on the cost of unemployment benefits. So I think that's an important piece, because that's sort of a hidden tax that not everybody sees, but it really does affect the bottom line of businesses. And again, they employ people, which provides money into the economy.
Do you have any idea at this point of how big that hole is on the unemployment?
You know, I'm not quite sure. We had, I think, about $2 billion, and we may be about $350 million in the hole
Yeah, because when during the Sandoval administration, we saw a similar situation with the previous recession, and it was quite remarkable that we were able actually to dig ourselves out of that and pay all the money back to the federal government.
We were able to, and that was it was huge, and we had so much money saved. So I'm grateful that we had about a $2 billion surplus before we went into this, but we went through it pretty fast.
Yeah, it doesn't take long. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more with State Senator Heidi Gansert after this timeout.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Heidi Gansert, Republican of District 15, who sits on finance. Two of the big bills that, or negotiations are going, I shouldn't say bills because they're not at this point, but mining, and then also in a way connected to that is gaming.
Right.
Can you share anything with us from the negotiations that are going on?
Well, I know there's been discussions for a while, and I think with the Economic Forum coming back with so much money, that's probably slowed the process down. But I know there's an interest by both parties to make some changes, so we'll have to wait and see.
Do you think that there is going to be an increase in the gaming tax? Because, and I'll give you both sides of the argument, because I've always felt that even though Nevada's gaming tax is low by comparison with other jurisdictions, the reason that we get things like Resorts World, which is a multi-billion dollar property, is because we have low gaming taxes and therefore people want to continue to invest in Nevada. What are your thoughts on that?
So I don't think there's a threat from the legislature for a gaming tax increase, but there is a ballot initiative that could potentially be on the ballot and the voters would be able to vote on that. And so I don't think, given that gaming was shut down for over 2 months, and the struggle that it's been to get them reopened and the losses that they've faced, I doubt there'll be an initiative from the legislature, but then again, there's likely to be a question on the ballot, so we'll have to see.
Okay, so you think at this point that it's still likely that it'll be on the ballot, because part of the discussion has been, you know, can you remove things that are now on the ballot and take them off if a negotiation is successfully accomplished with, for example, the Clark County Teachers Association?
Well, I think there's a couple of opinions. Some say that it has to be on the ballot. Some say that it doesn't have to be on the ballot. So I would imagine that we'll get some opinions that are out there from the legislature and potentially the Attorney General to settle that question. But that's where the threat is, I think, for gaming, is potentially a ballot question.
Do you have any concerns about the credibility of the LCB after the Supreme Court decision, because they defended the decision of the Democrats?
You know, that was a really, it was difficult, because the staff at the legislature is supposed to be nonpartisan, and it just didn't feel that way. It felt partisan, and while we needed to challenge the question or the bill that was passed, It was also frustrating because the LCB defended the Democrats' position, which ended up being wrong, right? So we get the Supreme Court that finds it's wrong, but then the Republicans, to fight it, had to actually raise money to be able to do that. So at some point in time, we may need to divide up the staff and have Republican and Democrat staff, at least from a legal standpoint.
Really?
is that news?
Well, it is to me. I mean, because, you know, LCB has always been thought of as a nonpartisan group.
They have been, but what we challenged in part during this process is whether the Democrats and that bill should be represented by the LCB, because we had to challenge it externally and raise money externally. So when you think about that, we were at a significant disadvantage to have to raise money to fight an opinion, essentially, that came out of the LCB. So, and in the end, the Supreme Court, as you mentioned, found unanimously on our side. Right, and so there's an equity as far as the representation that we had during that process. So I'm not sure. I mean, it was inequitable, and so we really need to look at that.
Okay, so sorry to dig into this a little bit deeper. So what you're saying then is that you know, there's an ability to question the members of the LCB as to what their political affiliation is.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that bill and the way that bill came out, if you remember, it was a simple majority, and then they changed it to two-thirds, and then they changed it to a simple majority, and then they changed it to two-thirds. Actually, they didn't go back to two-thirds. They changed it to a simple majority, and then it passed. And they had the support of staff who were arguing that was valid. And when we took them to court, one of the first things we did is try to get coverage for the lawsuit on the Republican side, and maybe that's the answer. Maybe part of the answer is not just questioning staff, but that you get equal representation so that you don't have one party having to raise money to fight something that they think is unconstitutional. And again, maybe the story would be different if it wasn't found unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, but it was. And so we had to raise money because the LCB was only representing one party in the lawsuit. And that was a question that was during the process. I don't know if you remember that, but we brought that up as one of the first challenges or issues.
Sadly, I was not in the court at that time. Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll come back more with State Senator Heidi Gansert after this timeout.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6x less likely to drop out of school, 15x less likely to go to prison, and 5x less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your furnace breaks down today? We fix it today. Why freeze for days while your furnace is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get warm again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 and we'll fix it today. That's 323-5585 or online at nevadaheating.com.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Heidi Gansert, Republican of District 15. Just to go back for a second to the potential for an increase in mining taxes, there are three different ones that are on the table. Where do you think this is going to end up?
Well, the mining industry is very concerned about questions being on the ballot, and I think they're looking at options as far as if there's a tax that's agreeable to their industry. So I think we'll find out. We've only got 2 weeks left, and we'll see if those measures move forward or if there's a way for them to come to an agreement.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, you know, one of the things that mining can do if they don't like the taxation situation is just leave the gold in the ground. They don't have to extract it. Do you think that's a real threat?
Well, I think Nevada.
And that's, by the way, not from mining. That is right. A conversation.
Well, you know, I think what we need to recognize is that we have about 30,000 families in the rural areas of Nevada that are supported by mining, and they're strong, high-paying jobs. So at a certain point, it's not going to be cost effective for them to continue. So I think they have agreed that they could pay more money. So they've agreed that we potentially could pay more money, but you sort of have to figure out where that line is, because what we don't want to do is to close them down, because again, these 30,000 families in rural Nevada would be affected, and actually our entire economy, because they buy products from throughout the state and they employ people in the rurals, but they also employ people who are in our urban cities too.
Bipartisanship, how much have you seen at this session?
It's been mixed. Nevada is a very small state, and we know each other well. And when we have these majorities on both sides, and the governor as a Democrat, it's difficult to have some leverage. But I think that we respect each other, and that we work really hard to try to be bipartisan in much of what we do. Now, there are some bills that, you know, we've all seen them that are just kind of way out for people, and we would don't agree on them. So we're always going to disagree on some policy, but I can tell you we try to work together on the budget. We try to work together on a variety of issues, whether it be healthcare. I don't know. Healthcare is, I guess, a big one, where in education. I mean, Republicans strongly support education, K-12 and higher ed, and we're doing our best to make sure that those get funded. And an example would be higher ed. They originally didn't fund a restoration of positions for higher ed, so they were treating them differently than every other agency in the state or organization kind of within the state's purview. And we really put a lot of pressure on them to restore, to put some money back into higher ed, because of course that's our future. When we need social workers, when we need teachers, when we need engineers, that's how we get them. And it last Saturday, we ended up restoring those positions. But that took a lot of pushing and working in a bipartisan manner to try to get that done.
Did that surprise you? Because it seems like, you know, for both K-12 and higher ed, that backfilling that money that potentially was going to be gone, mm-hmm. Would be one of the most important things to do.
I thought it should have been an automatic. I thought that if they were going to restore other positions, they should restore those. And we ended up using American Rescue Funds. So, you know, they chose not to use general funds. So you have to remember, we still have quite a bit of general fund that's sitting out there. But when you look at education, it's a continuum from K-12 through higher ed. And you really have to work on all of that to raise the bar for Nevada to make sure we have a more resilient and diversified economy.
It doesn't look like the community colleges are going to get to break away from the universities in this session. Do you think that's a good idea in the long run?
No, I don't think they should break away. I think that they work very well together, and there's a role for both of them. And when you talk about workforce development whether it's a welder, HVAC, technology, there's some really good jobs where someone can go for an associate's degree for a couple years or even certificates. And then higher ed, of course, helps us really diversify our economy, whether it's in engineering or healthcare. We can't get enough healthcare workers, so we really need to support both, and they need to work together. So you can start even at the community college and then transfer into Nevada, Reno, or UNLV.
You've worked on all sides of the legislature, from the Assembly to the Senate to being Chief of Staff to Governor Sandoval. Have you seen much of the governor in this session, at least in recent days? I mean, we get a lot of PR of him ribbon cutting and things like that, but it's not like he seems to be striding through the legislature.
You know, I've not seen him, and with the Democrat majorities in both houses, I would imagine he's messaging to them, but no, I've not seen them. But you know, in the end, we've got 2 weeks to go. I'm sure we'll all be working closely to try to shut down the legislature and make the best decisions we can.
Has the governor's staff been in touch with you to at least get your support on issues?
Not directly. I typically work with other legislators, and you'll find if you're in the building, the senators work with senators, the assembly works with the assembly, and then in the end, we all kind of have to work together. But we did have one bill in legislative operations the other day for the innovation zone study. We had that bill, and we had a member of the governor's staff over to present that bill. But that's, and you know, we have a lot of committees, so they may be presenting in other committees, just not one where I've been.
I spoke to a member of the congressional delegation after that study committee was announced, and they said to me, that's where bills go to die.
Well, we have about three studies that come out of the Senate, three studies that come out of the Assembly, so we'll see what happens with that very soon.
All right, so let's address a rumor here. You're termed out at the end of this session. Is Lieutenant Governor in your future?
So I'm not termed out.
Oh, you're not?
I'm actually in the second term.
So you have
in the Senate. So I've got lots of room. So I'm I'll decide what to do after session's over. So I'm really focused on the Senate right now. But I'm actually just serving my second term. I just started it.
Okay. So at this point, then you are looking to re-election?
If we would. Well, re-election would not be to 24. So I'm going to be midterm in 22.
Okay.
So I've got my time here in the Senate, and then I'll look at what else there may be after session.
Okay. So if there's an opening, then that could be a possibility.
You never know. I think there's going to be a lot of people moving around after the end of session.
Hello, term limits.
Right.
All right. That's where we got to leave it. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this morning. As I say, I know how busy you are. We appreciate it.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny! Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they will.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers on television, radio, audio and video, podcasts, and YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast coming to you from Carson City. See you then.